Hello and welcome to the Pals Anime Lounge, a podcast where a bunch of pals get together to talk about anime. The pals are Artura.
Hello, everyone.
And Gozo Girls.
Hi.
And I'm your host, Ace. In today's episode, we're talking about Persona 3, the Movie 1, Spring of Birth, released in 2013. The remake of Persona 3 came out recently, so we're hitting on that SEO goodness. It was produced by Anime International Company, the studio behind just so much stuff, like Data Live, Tenshi Muyo, and Persona 4, the animation.
Oh my god.
Yeah, Tenshi Muyo is my jam.
But they didn't make Persona 5, the movie or the series, right?
I believe they did not, no.
Oh, well. Now everything is ruined. My childhood is ruined.
Persona 3, the Movie 1, Spring of Birth, currently has a MyAnime score of 7.54. This is based on the RPG game Persona 3, developed by Atlus, though I don't know which exact version. There's been a number of them.
All of them.
Except for the new one.
Except for the new one. The new one is actually based on this animation, and not the original game.
That makes a lot of sense now.
My summary is, a transfer student gets more than he bargained for when he moves into the girls' dorm.
Was it specifically a girl's dorm?
Yes.
Yeah.
One of the characters does specifically say he's going to move into the boys' dorm at a later date. Atura, what's your summary?
Watch as a group of exceptional students who can feel the dark hour unite under a special club named Specialist Extracurricular Execution Squad.
Girls and girls, what's yours?
Persona 3 is a story of wholesome teenagers fighting a bit less wholesome shadows by summoning personas through a total ripoff of that one scene from JoJo's Bizarre Adventure manga from 1989.
I don't know the scene you're referring to, but I believe you.
Oh, Jotaro shoots himself in the head and his stand shows up to stop the bullet.
I love that.
Okay, this is a long movie, so I got a lot of notes. So we open on a butterfly, then some text giving us 1 year to go forth with our hearts as our guides. We open properly on a train platform with someone trying to isekai themselves.
Yeah, basically.
But that was a train! That wouldn't work, didn't he know?
It only works on trucks.
M. Bison was driving the train.
Are you sure he was?
Yes.
Can someone in our research department check that fact?
Cutting to a different train, we see the protagonist spotting a very fast butterfly while listening to his MP3 player, because this is set in a time before phones were used for listening to music. A track called Burn My Dread starts, and we get the title, Persona 3 The Movie 1 Spring of Birth.
Gonna be honest with you, I didn't like the opening on this one.
I did. I quite enjoyed it.
Why didn't you like it?
I don't know. So I've started trying to like sit down and listen to them because Ace always mentions it and I always feel like a dumbass because I'm not listening. So I did it and it just didn't quite catch my attention. I kind of liked the animation, but the music just wasn't for me at all.
Oh. I thought it was the visuals that you didn't like. That's interesting.
I thought they went well together. The protagonist gets off the train and stares at a housing leaflet he's carrying as a nearby clock approaches midnight. As midnight strikes, his MP3 player stops and everything turns green while behind him some coffins appear. Walking down the street, he is seemingly nonplussed by the dozens of coffins standing upright in the street and behind the wheels of cars, nor the loud screaming which echoes around him. He enters a building and is told that he's late by what appears to be a young prisoner. The prisoner tells him to sign a document, and he does so as Makoto Yuki. In the game, doesn't have a name like you. You have to give him a name, so that's his official name in this. It is different in the manga.
The child, by the way, is actually young Cody Travers from Street Fighter and Final Fight. He wears the same clothes. He's a big blonde man with handcuffs and he punches. people.
So should I call him Cody instead of prisoner?
Sure, why not?
Cody literally disappears into darkness before someone spots Makoto and draws a pistol on him. Takaba, who pulls the gun on him, is stopped from shooting Makoto by the older Kirijiro, who appears behind her and says that Makoto is an ordinary transfer student. The green light returns to normal light, and the MP3 player resumes, you know, playing, as Kirijiro introduces herself and explains that Makoto will eventually move into the boys' dorm instead of this one. And he wouldn't be moving into the boys' dorm if this was not the girls' dorm.
So, do you hear, Chorus? How does he move to the boys' dorm if he's in the girls' dorm? Gosh, you should have paid attention to the comments.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Point to Ace.
What? Are we getting points? What?
I am.
Why?
So that I can win.
But what did you win? Was there a contest?
I'm going to win the podcast.
I wasn't told about that. I would have prepared. I would have watched this anime. I mean, I would have watched...
You what?
Takaba introduces herself, and Makoto finally speaks before following Takaba to his room. The next day, they ride the train to school. Makoto gets to meet his classmate, Junpei. And pretty sure he's the member of the class who gets a name. Takaba picks on Junpei a little before Kirijiro pulls her out of class. Talk about Makoto, reading from a background report that mentions peculiarities concerning his body and how he was hospitalized at 7 years old, whereupon his personality changed. These peculiarities concerning his body never come up again.
He has a third nipple.
The chairman, who is also there, tells Takaba to keep tabs on Makoto and report back whether Makoto needs to be told something. After school, on the train, Makoto closes his eyes and enters the Velvet Room to be greeted by Igor and Elizabeth. I say he enters it, but we never actually see him in the Velvet Room. It's all done from, presumably, his POV.
Yeah, it's like a first-person perspective up until you get really close to Igor's eye and I wanted to cry.
Igor explains that Makoto is there because he signed the contract, and he's given a key before, well, it's unclear what happens because we skipped to 2 days later. Makoto encounters some mean girls picking on Fuka and helps her pick up her stuff. Later, at the shopping mall, someone is hanging out with their friends at midnight. They yawn and open their eyes to find the world green with coffins everywhere. He starts to freak out, somewhat understandably, and suddenly turns into goo. At the dorm, the chairman, Kirijiro, and Takaba are spying on a sleeping Makoto from a command center.
Lude.
Akihiko calls to warn about something moments before he arrives at the dorm, injured. The dorm shakes as the others try to find out from Akihiko what's going on, so Kirijiro tells Takaba to wake up Makoto and escape. Outside, shadowy creatures are climbing the wall. One of them looks in the window and spots the two running for the roof. And the roof is where the creature follows them to. Takaba pulls her gun and puts it to her forehead, but can't pull the trigger, so the creature slaps her. Makoto grabs the gun and shoots himself in the temple while saying persona at the urging of the young prisoner.
That's Cody Travers.
Yeah, please get the name right.
At the urging Cody. This summons giant Pinocchio. I mean, Orpheus, his persona.
Wait, it's Pinocchio? I need to watch this.
Oh my god, is this the Pinocchio from Lies of P? Is he Hot Pinocchio? Hot Nokio?
Wait a minute, I just realized this is not a joke we do in the podcast, it's on the meetings. No one's going to understand this.
I mean, he is technically Hot Pinocchio because he uses fire magic.
He is literally Hot Pinocchio. You may take that as you will.
Orpheus attacks the creature, then Dark Digivolves and destroys it, and Makoto faints. Everyone in the control room just watches while the roof burns. And we got to the Velvet Room, where Igor explains to Makoto what a persona is and does. time skips 8 days, did I mention the handy calendar that keeps appearing?
That's taken straight from the game.
Yeah. But I was kind of confused because, like, I didn't know why I cared about so much time passing. I'm going to be honest with you.
Because right at the start of the movie, we're told that we have a year and something about hearts that I've already forgotten.
That's a good point. I have forgotten by this point, too.
So Makoto wakes up in the hospital with Takaba watching over him. And she explains that her father died in the same incident that Makoto's parents both died in 10 years ago. Then hints that the whole monster thing will be explained when he returns to the dorms before leaving. The next day at the dorm, Makoto is introduced to Jaminy Ikutsuki and Akihiko. Ikutsuki asks if Makoto would believe that there are more than 24 hours in a day, and Makoto readily agrees, explaining that he's known about the Dark Hour for as long as he can remember. The creature that Makoto defeated was just one of many things called shadows, and they attack anyone not sleeping in a coffin, like the guy who turned into goo.
So only vampires are safe.
I mean, I was going to make the same joke.
Dracula is that. I told you!
He sleeps in a coffin in the day.
Oh, that's a good point.
For safety, you should just never leave your coffin.
Well, actually, Kirijiro says that people who are affected by something called apathy syndrome were likely victims of shadows, but I'm guessing that Goo Boy is slightly more than apathetic.
I think he's apathetic to existence now.
Ikutsuki says that they are the Specialized Extracurricular Execution Squad, or SEES for short.
They don't call it that, though. They don't say SEES, do they?
Yep, in the subtitle.
Yeah, in the subtitle, but, like, they use the acronym everywhere, but they don't say it out loud in the anime, and it's frustrating.
Oh, sorry, it is an acronym, isn't it? Or SEES for short. Blame girls, not me. A group dedicated to defeating shadows and technically classed as a school club. The head teacher had no questions about the execution part of that. Okay.
They told him the acronym stands for something else.
That execute stands for executing homework together.
Or just completely different set of words, like some random egg white.
Extracurricular egg white squad, yeah.
The Sally Egg White's
Sensitive Electronic Equipment System.
There we go.
Ikutsuki formally asks Makoto to join, presenting him with a handgun, holster, and an armband. Sorry, an evoker, not a gun. The difference is, shut up.
Yeah, they're in America.
Oh, okay, that is the difference. I got it.
The next day at the... Like, we're not told what the difference is. Just, this is an evoker, this is not a gun. Okay, if you say so.
Symbolism that we are not privy to.
The next day at the arcade, Junpei is in high spirits because, cut to the dorm, he's moving in, much to Takaba's horror. Apparently, Akihiko bumped into Junpei the other night, and since he wasn't in a coffin, that means he's on the team. He goes on to suggest that they meet at that place before midnight, whatever that place is, and they do, arriving at the school before the dark hour. In front of them, the school grows, twists, and contorts to form a tower which Kirijiro names Tartarus, and warns that it's likely full of shadows.
I mean, there are a lot of walls.
And not a lot of lights.
That's why they need a dentist in their team to remove their Tartarus.
While she continues explaining that they will be using special weapons to fight, we see Makoto, Junpei, and Takaba fighting shadows. Kirijiro and Akihiko are at the entryway of the tower, communicating with them, quote-unquote, in their heads, according to Junpei, by using a transmitter. Avengers-style invisible earpieces hadn't been invented yet.
They are using directional microphones.
A boss monster attacks, and I realized that Makoto hadn't done much. Like, we saw him at the start of the montage, and then... And he defeats the boss single-handedly. So, start and end of the montage. Junpei is jealous, and we skip ahead 6 days. At school, Kirijiro is giving a speech regarding her starting her term as student council president, but that's cut short because we have to skip ahead to Makoto and friends visiting Akihiko in hospital, where he is for just a checkup. Why is he in hospital for the checkup? He's got his own room and everything.
Foreshadowing, maybe? We will find out in the part 3 of this movie series. Maybe. I don't know.
He was being visited by a dude in a red coat who bitches and leaves as soon as the others arrive. Junpei hands over a hand exerciser, and Makoto leaves, which Junpei doesn't like. He doesn't like it so much that he bitches to Takaba about it on the train home. Makoto is at the mall, where he spots Fuka getting shoved, so helps her pick up her crap again. She thanks him with takoyaki and teaches him the power of friendship or something.
Yeah, pretty much.
That night, he is visited by three ghosts. Sorry, wrong anime. By the little prisoner who warns about an ordeal. Time skip by 2 weeks, and we cut to Jiro scanning for shadows in the control room. Akihiko enters and mentions that he saw his friend 2 weeks ago to ask about apathy syndrome, but that it didn't bear out. The scanner finds something, and the team is dispatched to the monorail. They will have to walk to find the shadow, but since no electronic equipment works during the dark hour, like we saw with the MP3, it's safe. Wait, why does the command center's computer work then? And Kirijiro rode in on a motorbike. Though she does literally say it's special when asked about how it still works.
So maybe the computer's also special.
It's persona powered. She talks about her persona when communicating, so I guess that's something.
Junpei is pissed that Makoto is put in charge and whines about it as they walk. The doors of the monorail close as they enter, and they're attacked by shadows. Not leader Junpei runs off to fight a shadow, while leader Makoto watches. And then when not leader Takaba says they should follow, he acts like that never crossed his mind. So why is he the leader, other than the fact he's the player character in the game?
Because he has no personality.
Because he's strong.
He has no personality and he can level up. I don't know.
He has no
the other guy leveled up too.
Quality.
Oh shit.
Oh my gosh, I'm leaving.
The train.
He has no personality and he doesn't care. That makes him a great leader. He will sacrifice their lives in the heartbeat.
Ah, he's a general. I get it now. I'll send wave after wave of my own men against these shadows. The train begins moving, and Kirijiro warns that it'll collide with another one if they can't stop it. Junpei confronts the boss, saying he can handle it by himself. He does not.
Surprising, exactly no one.
The other two arrive, and Junpei has an existential crisis over how doing this could actually kill him.
It's not like a video game at all, Sarutha is saying.
He hadn't crossed his mind at all. Fighting these things for weeks.
People die when they are killed. Oh my god, people die when they are killed. I didn't know.
That's a gun?
No, that's not a gun, stop it.
You told me it was a hair dryer.
Makoto visits the Velvet Room, and Igor tells him that he can summon multiple personas, not just Orpheus. So he summons Jack Frost, a Frost type, to battle the enemy Frost type.
Well, it's not very effective either way. So
Junpei summons his persona and they defeat the boss, and then they have to stop the train themselves. We get a montage of skips where the kids take exams, get results, do some kendo, and enter Tartarus. And we land on the 30th of May, where some students are taken away by paramedics. At the dorm, Fuka's file is being looked at by the team as a potential new recruit. Kirijiro mentions that the kids taken away have apathy syndrome, and they'd been found unconscious at the school's front gates. At no point has anyone explained what apathy syndrome is. Just like to know.
Yeah, no, I went back because I was like, what is apathy syndrome? Does someone explain it? And no one ever says anything about it.
It sounds like a fancy way to say a coma.
But in the games, it's not a coma.
No, because it's a full stop.
Makoto suggests it's to do with Tartarus, but Junpei suggests instead it's ghosts. Sure, it's ghosts, you don't know whether they're real and not the literal monsters you've been face to face with multiple times. You tool bag. We skip 6 days and Junpei notices that Fuka isn't at school, and according to a classmate, she's not been there for a week. Makoto and Junpei overhear someone saying that the Port Island station is a hotbed of drugs, so later suggests to Takaba that it might be connected to apathy syndrome or ghosts or shadows or something. It was very vague. The next day, they get out and get told to buzz off. Takaba mouths off, Makoto joins in, and Junpei gets punched before Redcoat from the hospital tells everyone to quit it, and then headbutts a dude. Someone calls him Aragaki, and they all leave, and Takaba convinces Aragaki to explain the ghost thing to them, and it turns out it's supposedly Fuka's ghost, as she hasn't been home in a week. 2 days later, Fuka's friend, in quotation marks, is being quizzed about Fuka and the two apathy syndromes of sufferers. The three of them shoved Fuka into an equipment locker one night, and fearing that she might hurt herself, the other two returned to let her out. Kirijiro works out that the three of them were inside the school when it changed during the dark hour, so Fuka probably got lost and the other two were affected by shadows. Since Makoto doesn't seem too concerned, Takaba starts to shout at him, and I got to wondering, isn't Makoto being a bit apathetic? And didn't his personality change when he was 7, so he's basically been displaying apathy syndrome for a decade?
I wondered the same. But I assume since no one mentioned it, I was just being stupid and that wasn't what apathy syndrome was. I just figured he's a bland character, maybe to better interject yourself as a player into him and then be able to enjoy like the RPG experience. That's why so many protagonists are mostly or predominantly silent.
They meet up at the dorm later to discuss going into Tartarus to save Fuka. While it's been 10 days for Fuka, they posit that it's only been 10 hours for her, since she must cease to exist when it's not the dark hour. I found the thought of that quite horrifying.
Why?
Because she just stops existing for 23 hours a day.
Well, it's like going to sleep.
Yeah, I got the same thought. It's just kind of like you technically cease to exist for 8 hours where you're just sleeping and not really present.
Yeah, what are you, Q from TNG? You think that when you fall asleep you stop existing or something? I shouldn't make that reference in an anime podcast.
Save it for our Star Trek podcast. I just want to start a Star Trek podcast.
Yeah, Q becomes human and he falls asleep and is like, oh my god, what happened?
I remember that one. They agree to wait in the gym for the dark hour to start, and Takaba tells Makoto not to bother going because he doesn't care. So he wanders off. The others leave, and Makoto is left guarding the base, as well as Fuka's quotation mark friend, who I'm not sure was named before just then.
I think she was. I think, didn't she? Fuka mention her name when she was instilling the power of friendship in our protagonist?
She might have it. It might be the fact that it was both names that caught my attention. But anyway, she mouths off about Fuka, and Makoto tells her that Fuka just wanted to apologize for saying something that came off as mean. The others, meanwhile, enter the gym just before the dark hour, and the not friend turns out to have just arrived outside the school as the clock hits midnight. Damn, she can really move. She's hypnotized by the force that is the shadows, and enters Tartarus to apologize to Fuka for being an absolute hunk great bitch. At the entrance, Kirijiro and Takaba are unable to raise Akihiko and Junpei. Elsewhere, however, those two run into Fuka, who came towards the sound of Junpei being afraid. Theorizing that she has the power to sense shadows like Kirijiro, Akihiko hands Fuka an evoker and tells her there's not really a gun. Back at the dorm, Makoto is doing a super job of keeping an eye on the not friend who ran off ages ago. Little prisoner, sorry, Cody appears and gives him an update that Fuka has been located. Oh, and BTW and the Not Friend ran off. Makoto at the dorm comes to the same realization that Akihiko in Tartarus does when he spots the full moon. The little prisoner, sorry, Cody, confirms that an ordeal is coming tonight, just like the dorm attack and the monorail incident, which were both full moons. In fact, it's going to be more than one ordeal, and Makoto has to go, otherwise people are going to die. At the entrance of Tartarus, the ladies have been injured by two boss monsters, and then the boys are too. Not Friend...
Yay, gender equality!
Not Friend arrives on the scene and comes to her senses when Fuka avoids the shadows and reaches her. Not Friend apologizes and Fuka summons her persona. However, it's not a battle persona, so it looks like the shadows will kill her. Until Makoto comes riding in on the motorbike. Things still look bleak, but Makoto remembers the power of friendship, and Fuka finally learns how to use her persona to detect enemy weaknesses. The shadows are defeated, and it literally took 12 minutes. Like, that's a really long scene for this thing. Scenes can last about 5 seconds because, you know, got a time skip. Speaking of skipping ahead to the 12th of June, Fuka returns to school and Not Friend is nice to her, despite not remembering what happened at Tartarus. Makoto smiles and the end credits begin. And this song I didn't like.
But Artura loved it.
Yeah, no, I wasn't a big fan of this one either. It's just that I think the problem is I'm not big on anime openings. I'm going to find one I like and I'm going to find love in them, goddammit, if it's the last thing I do.
Watch Girlfriend, Girlfriend, damn you.
Watch Drifters, that has a great opening.
I will judge animes from their openings now.
There's a post-credit scene with Cody, who talks about Makoto's power having changed, and asks to be his friend, finally giving us his name, Pharos, not Cody.
Ow.
Then there's a sneak peek at the next movie,
which we'll be covering in the next episode.
No, we won't.
No?
Was this a good adaptation?
As far as I can tell, it's pretty much like word for word. Like, there's no gameplay, there's no grinding. But yeah, I seen gameplay of that, of like the few opening scenes, and it just looks exactly the same, like down to the framing of different shots.
Yeah, it directly adapts the story. But this is the first movie, so it only covers between the 6th of April and the 12th of June, whereas the game itself spans an entire year, so that's why there's 4 movies. But I played Persona 3 Portable on the Xbox last year, and this was like exactly it, just with it looked better. Because Portable is just all menus. It's not the best Persona game.
Oh wait, it's like Starfield.
It just has a few more menus than Starfield does.
I don't know enough about Starfield to comment. I'm gonna abstain.
So was this a Yeta, a nanny, or a baka, Artur?
I think for me, it was a nanny. A nanny thrown towards Yata. I kind of like the story. I'm not a big fan of some of the darker themes that transpired. But truth be told, it was interesting enough. I didn't particularly care for the fight. And I did not like the protagonist. But it has an interesting story. So I'm kind of torn between yes and eh.
You can be honest with us. It was Igor's eye, wasn't it?
Yeah. It's because of Igor's eye I can confidently recommend it.
Yeah, and Frankenstein didn't appear, so...
And Goz, what about you?
I think it was Yata. It was... it's well animated, and I think paced well enough, and the action is nice, but it also has some elements that I am into. Like, I like traumatized protagonists.
But he's becoming less traumatized as he learns about the power of friendship.
Yeah, that's usually how those stories go. You start traumatized, and then you realize, oh my god, there's friends.
You become less traumatized because of Chandler, Ross, Rachel, Monica, and Joey.
Like Friends, like a TV show. I never watched that. I think I saw some clips and I think it's stupid.
For me, I gave it a yatta. I quite enjoyed it, but I did quite enjoy the game, even though it took me longer than I'd have liked to have finished it. Like, it was 15 hours too long.
I hate it when games overstay their welcome. Like, don't get me wrong. I totally get... I complain a lot about short video games because I don't want them to run out. But it's so sad when you love something and then you stop loving it and then you have to keep playing it for several hours later. Yeah. But you're like, but I've spent so much time and I loved it before.
Yeah, for me, for a lot of games, I think especially like RPGs or maybe even more specifically JRPGs, it's like... You have to grind, you have to do a lot of the same stuff over and over to, like, be strong enough or have enough of something to, like, continue or to get a good ending, even.
So does it deserve its My Anim List score of 7.54?
I think for me, it's definitely a good score. It's not the type of content for me. I'm very much willing to admit that. The fact that I really did enjoy it and I didn't hate myself throughout the 1 hour and 40 minute runtime that this had kind of bodes better for it than not. So I'd say, yeah, I think it's a good score. I was actually surprised to hear it was only a 7.5 considering how big Persona is as a whole.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'd like to say 8, but also I wasn't looking at it as like a standalone movie. I was looking at it as a game adaptation, which... So I gave it some leeway. So maybe 7.5 or around that is fine.
Personally, while I did enjoy it, I might put the score lower. Some scenes lasted too long, outstayed their welcome.
Now, how dare you say that ending scene of 12 minutes is long?
Yeah, but those turn-based battles in JRPGs take even longer.
And I hate them.
Yeah, but that makes it a good adaptation, don't it?
Okay.
I know, I'm making a joke. I'm not defending it at all. I already complained about the length of JRPGs.
And that brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you for joining me, Guzguz and Artur.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to the Piles Anime Lounge. And better yet, thank you for subscribing wherever you found this episode. You can find more from us on GameGreen.com, finding us on social media, or listening to the Greencast podcast. And until next time, game on.